The reading this morning is taken from Habakkuk chapter 1, and I'm reading through to first verse of chapter 2. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me, and what answer I am to give to this complaint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In case you're worried that Heather has just added to Scripture and is in mortal danger, I forgot to put chapter 2, verse 1 on the service sheet. So she has read out Habakkuk 2:1. And if you doubt, there are about 30 Bibles at the back for you to check that that's the case. Last week we heard how Habakkuk had been pouring out his heart to God, and that as he had done this, God had really surprised him. We learn that Habakkuk hated the injustice he saw around him among God's people, and so he cries out to God again and again. Habakkuk 1:2 says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" In his passionate calling out to God, Habakkuk finds that God's timing is not his, and so he is surprised how long it takes God to answer. But then the situation gets even worse, because God answers and Habakkuk doesn't like the answer. If God's slowness in answering is an issue, then what God intends to do raises an even bigger one. God tells Habakkuk, as we saw last week, that he's going to rise up, use the Babylonians to bring justice on God's people. So here's Habakkuk. His first problem was that God didn't answer when he cried out. And then when God did answer, he didn't like the answer. And sometimes, you know, it's like that. The way God answers our prayer is so surprising that we're not sure we wouldn't have wished that he'd actually hadn't answered at all. Perhaps we liked the silence more than the answer. I can remember pleading with God when our son Jeremy was in difficult times due to mental health issues being undiagnosed, and hearing God say in all sorts of different ways, warning us that the situation was going to get worse before it got better. And I remember saying to God, no, that's not the answer I wanted. That's not what I wanted you to say. And I found the answer actually really quite difficult. And that's where Habakkuk is. And for Habakkuk, the problem is that his view of God does not in his mind square up with what God has just said he's going to do. And so Habakkuk, as a man of faith, in our reading today, continues his dialogue with God. And we need to note that that's the case. He doesn't abandon God. He doesn't go, "Well, if that's your answer, I'm not going to listen to you anymore and I'm not going to talk to you anymore." He continues to engage with God. He doesn't abandon God or stop talking to him. Alistair Cook, the ex-England cricket captain, was telling a story this week of when he dropped a guy called Jimmy Anderson, who's been our best bowler over a number of years, from a one-day match. And Anderson was absolutely livid with what he'd been told. But actually, on the day of the match, another player, not the one who replaced Anderson, got ill. And so Anderson had to play. And Alistair Cook was saying, here was I as the captain, and my bowler wouldn't talk to me. That's actually quite difficult. And he said, for 7 days, Jimmy Anderson didn't talk to me. Fortunately, Habakkuk is not so ridiculous. When he hears something he doesn't like from God, he talks to God and tells God, first of all, what he is sure of. So our first point is that Habakkuk reminds himself of the character of God. Habakkuk reminds himself of the character of God. Verse 12, Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Habakkuk knows the nature and character of God. And notice how he describes him. Verse 12, he is everlasting and eternal. He will not die. God sees the big picture. He has the eternal perspective. Verse 12, he says, my God, my Holy One. Habakkuk has a clear personal relationship with God. And he knows that God is holy, perfect, completely other, different. But he knows that he's his God, my Holy One. And then he says, you, Lord. That's using the word Yahweh, the God who reveals himself to his people, who rescues his people. So you, Lord, you are the one who rescues us. You are our God. But notice what he actually says. You, Lord, have appointed them. Debbie, stay there. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. He accepts what God has said he's going to do. That as the judge, he has the right to decide how judgment comes. You see, Habakkuk does not doubt what God has said. As we'll see in a minute, he just can't quite comprehend it. Then he says, even in the midst of that, you, my rock. Notice that in the midst of saying, look, this judgment is coming, which I don't like, God, he still sees as the one who is secure and stable, rock-like. Verse 13, the pure one who cannot look on evil or tolerate wrongdoing. In the face of his surprise at what God is doing, in the face of his going, I'm not sure how this is right, God, what Habakkuk does is restate his belief in who God is, in what he's like. With his faith under challenge, Habakkuk starts with what he knows about God. And if we've been a Christian any length of time, my working understanding is there will be times when we will go, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't understand it. What's going on? And the danger when we get to that point is we forget who God is in being confused by what he's doing. And Habakkuk reminds us that in the midst of those times, what we must start with is what we know about God's character. For many, the current coronavirus comes into that category. What are you doing, God? What's it all about? And in that place of not really knowing, the first thing we must do is to remind ourselves of who God is and that he does not change. And Habakkuk, through his experience, has come to know that God is everlasting, personal, holy, the Lord, judge, his rock, the pure one. But it's not just his experience that have proven that. He's learned that Because that's how God has revealed himself through the generations. He would have heard what God had done and been sure that that is who God is. And we too, when we're in that place where we're not sure what God is doing, we too can be certain that he has not changed. His character is still the same. And like Habakkuk, we must focus our thoughts on who God is if we are to grow in faith. Habakkuk, you see, when he is in this place of not being sure why God is going to do what God is going to do, first of all, reminds himself of the character of God. But secondly, he then expresses his confusion. Verse 13, halfway down. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? That's his question. His faith in God is challenged by Yahweh's choice of the Babylonians to carry out his purposes. Habakkuk doesn't doubt that God's people, his people, need disciplining. But his confusion comes from the fact that God is planning to use the people who are more wicked, more evil than God's people to carry out his purposes. And he's right, by the way. The prophet's people may have been bad, but the Babylonians were even worse. As the rest of chapter 1 makes crystal clear. Surely God can't act using those people. But see what Habakkuk does. He expresses his confusion to God. In fact, as he talks to God, Habakkuk has some really good reasoned arguments for why it's totally inappropriate for God to use such people. Verse 14, you have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up out with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. He pictures the Babylonians being able to have a big net and put all the nations in them. And as he does that, he rejoices in glad. He rejoices in his wickedness. Because he is a wicked foe, verse 15. And if he rejoices in his wickedness, verse 16 makes it worse. Therefore he sacrifices to a net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? Habakkuk recognizes that these wicked, these Babylonians are idolaters. They'll praise things rather than God. They'll ignore God. Are they to keep on prospering, he says? Are they to live in luxury, enjoying the choicest food, glorying in their power? You see, Habakkuk's understandable question is this: how can God work like this? And the truth is, if we've been a Christian for any length of time, we too will have faced similar situations where we're confused by what God is doing or confused by what he's planning to do. And we'll have situations probably that we've worked through in the past that we'll be going, Lord, I still don't understand what you were doing in that. We'll come back to that in a moment. But notice that Habakkuk is confused by what God is planning to do. I have a number of conversations with good Christian folk who know that the Bible teaches that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And they know that when Jesus comes back, the only question we're going to be asked is, did you believe in Jesus? And the answer to that question will determine our destination, where it's heaven, where we're going to enjoy God's love and majesty and everything for eternity, or hell, where we'll experience his anger forever. But I get into conversations and people go, I know that's true, but surely there must be an escape route for those good people who I don't really want to be where I think they're going to be. I know what God's planning to do. that I'm confused at times. Sometimes we're confused by what God is doing or what he has done or what he is going to do. There are times, I think, when we think, how much more must a family member or friend suffer? How much more must I suffer? Why does God let one of his people or a number of his people suffer at the hands of those who don't know Jesus? I know I'm not the best Christian ever, but why is someone who's clearly much less Christian than I prospering? And I'm not. What is the response of faith when we're confused by what God plans to do or has done? Well, Habakkuk tells us to talk to God about it. He doesn't hide his confusion. He explains his problem, which is what Paul encourages us to do in Philippians. When we don't really understand what God is doing, when we don't understand his actions or lack of action, when God does stuff that we don't expect, we need to be willing to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes I think we come into church and go, I'm a bit confused by what God is doing, but I'm not going to admit that because everybody else here doesn't seem to feel that ever. We put on this mask of, I always understand perfectly what God's doing in my life. I don't think that's true, really. But I think we need to be honest with ourselves when we're confused by what God has done. And being honest with ourselves, we then have to be honest with God. We need to talk to him and not pretend, to explain our confusion as Habakkuk does. But he doesn't stop there. In chapter 2, verse 1, we learn that he waits and listens. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Habakkuk pictures himself as a sentry standing watch, vigilant, waiting for God's response. He's eagerly waiting to see what God will say to him about his complaint, which is that God's actions seem to him to be unjust. He waits because he wants to see what God's response will be. And notice what he does. In his confusion, he doesn't go, so I'm not going to listen anymore. In his confusion, he says, I'm waiting and watching for an answer. And elsewhere in the scriptures, I think it becomes crystal clear that for some of our confusions, we have to be honest enough to say that the Bible says we may not find those confusions sorted out until we get to heaven. There are some things that will continue to confuse us. But actually, what we're called to do, even if it's from quite a time in the past, is to continue to wait and listen to see if God will answer us in this life or the next. Habakkuk doesn't time limit how long he's going to stand. He doesn't say to God, you've got 3 weeks, mate. He says, I'll stand. And that's where we're going to leave Habakkuk for 2 weeks, patiently waiting God's response, and you're going to have to wait for 2 weeks as well, unless you read it at home and understand it all. He's at this point still confused, still struggling. God has planned to do something that Habakkuk does not agree with, cannot understand. God hasn't lived up to his expectations, but he hasn't stopped listening to God or wanting to hear what God says. And that's what we have to do, you see. We have to be willing to continue to listen to God, to wait for what he will say. Now, I don't know the situations in your life where you feel God's way of working or not working confuses you. It might be something internationally or nationally. It might be something personal, a relationship, a job, a financial decision. It might be something in your present or your past. What I do know is that Habakkuk challenges us to keep watch, to keep our ears open, to eagerly await what God will say. Sometimes my wife Anne will say to me, "Where have you gone?" By which she means, "What's distracted you so you're not listening to me anymore?" I'm sure none of you have that experience in any of your relationships with your friends or with your family. May we never do that to God. May we never stop eagerly awaiting for what he will say. Now, he normally communicates through his word or through his people. But Habakkuk reminds us that even if we've been waiting and listening for a long time, we should continue to do that. Like Habakkuk, we must be those who, when we're confused, remind ourselves of what we know about God's character. Be honest to God, with God about our confusion. But also be those who are willing to wait and listen. Let's pray together. Father God, help us to learn from Habakkuk's example of pouring out our confusion to you. And as we've done that, and when we've done that, help us to be those who are willing to wait and listen. Whether your response comes in this life or the next, help us to leave that confusion with you. Father, we pray that in your mercy, you would give us attentive ears, but also honest conversations with you. Thank you, Father, for who you are, that you are trustworthy, and we can pour out our hearts to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't looked at your service sheet, you could probably guess what hymn we're going to sing. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Please stand as we sing.